Now, not because I can't reveal it, but you don't have the capacity to hold it. Let me add my own words. There's not enough time in your whole lifetime to understand a fragment of that. So ask me for something else. So the man said, okay, I want to understand the peanut, that's the groundnut. God said, fine. And that the man made, let me not give wrong figures, but literally scores of discoveries on what you can do with the groundnut. But why am I talking about him? They said he spent more time reading his Bible than doing any other thing, and he was a scientist. That is, he drew inspiration from afar. He did not draw inspiration from nearby. He drew inspiration from afar, not from nearby. If as a scientist you spend more time reading the Bible and then you have more discoveries, more inventions, and more patents than all other people, that inspiration is not from nearby. Definitely, it's from somewhere far away. And I bring a message to you again this evening to tell you that that kind of inspiration is hanging right now for those who will stretch their hands towards this and receive it. The time has come for you, Christian, to take your eye off Dangote. He is not the richest man. The time has come for you to take your eyes off Carlos Slim. He is not the richest man. Warren Buffett had his days. But God said he is not rich at all. That what I want to do through your life, eyes have not seen. You know what it means? Read 1,000 editions of Forbes magazine, you won't find it there. Do you get what I'm going to explain? I started this by explaining the fact that we don't magnify Christ enough. We queue up, oh God, I pray that God opens our eyes. We call a man an unbeliever and queue up behind him that God make me like him. I read the story of, what is his name? This man in UK. Richard Branson. After reading his story, I came to one conclusion. I said he would die bankrupt. I read stories. Let me tell you, even in natural plane, let me tell you something. No man can plan really for what the world calls success. They can't even plan it. They start confusing people. I like what the story I heard about George Soros. George Soros is a very wealthy, in fact, Robert Kiyosaki calls his side, he doesn't call them investors, he calls them capitalists. If you read Robert Kiyosaki's books, he'll tell you about wage earners, what they call them, employed people, self-employed people, investors, at the top of the food chain there. He said there are what he calls capitalists. That these are not people you call investors. No. These are people that shake nations. George Soros, there was a time, I think it was Time Magazine or Newsweek, did a piece on him. He said the man who bet against the Bank of England and won. One single man crashed the value of the pound. And he made $1 billion in the process. He went to Germany, borrowed money. He went to UK, borrowed money, moved it to Germany. Did some manipulations, the price of the pound came down, he returned the money. Now, why am I telling his story? Because people study George Soros. He said his son said, he doesn't understand why everybody listens to his father. His son. That anytime you see his father talking, analyzing that, he doesn't understand. What is this man talking about? That I know the way he makes decisions. It depends on whether his back is paining him or not. Like when he's listening to his father talk, he said, what is this man talking about? And I've heard George Soros talk. There are people you hear talk, you know. They know what they're talking about. In fact, no one day he was talking. It took me a while to realize he was referring to the pound. He calls it the sterling. You know? Most of us say pounds. He says the sterling, when he was talking. And when the man would be giving, this was before the days when before Euro took over everywhere. It was one of those World Economic Summit that hold every year at Davos, Switzerland. I was just watching the program. And so, that day he was talking, when you hear the man talk, smooth. A man that had financial understanding. Understanding of world affairs and all of that. Even Donald Trump, I read his book, The Art of the Deal. Even he said it. Said that there was a deal, the other one, he just woke up. He woke up in the morning and decided it was a bad deal. No reason. No reason. Malcolm Gladwell tried to explain the reason in Blink. I read his book, Blink. I said, sir, you are still missing one point out there. You are forgetting the role of the Spirit. Even Richard Branson, that was why I declared he would die bankrupt. When he decided to cross the Pacific Ocean, cross the whole world in a hot air balloon, read his book. He said it there, that was one day he understood what a miracle was. What spared his life had to be a miracle. He covered the distance in a short time they did not know was possible. It was as if he was being carried by angels. I said, listen, what that means, anytime God handles you like that, it means, you know, he told Pharaoh, there's a reason why I set you up. For this reason, I raised you up, that I might show my glory through you. That means you have a purpose in life. And when God does such things in your life, what he's trying to say, simply acknowledge him. If you acknowledge him, you will endure in your prosperity. But he wrote that book and it was the railing against God. You won't understand it if you're not careful. There's a technical railing against God throughout the book. I said, sir, you should not have written this book. Because now that you have written it, you are dying bankrupt. It's a spiritual principle. You know what I'm going to explain? Even physically in the world, this normal, if they really sit down and think, when Solomon was analyzing, he was not analyzing from spiritual angle. He was looking at it under the sun. When I viewed under the sun, I realized that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. That men who have observed it realize it simply. Something is helping us here, not us. But they refuse to acknowledge God. That's where their judgment is. Why am I saying all of these things? That God is saying to you, forget what I have done before. Don't bring the former things back to mind. Because I, the Lord, I do a new thing. That is, in your life, I am going to do something new. You are going to have ideas. Nobody, you are going to write a book because of your life. You are going to have ideas nobody ever practiced, nobody ever used. It's just going to be because you tapped into something. And that's what I'm saying to you. You want to fail as a businessman, continue. You have been doing it before. Reading every worldly book, thinking that is where the thing is. I say to you today, you have to make sure at least 51% now must be spiritual. You wake up in the morning, first of all, before you read accounting principles in a startup business, drop it. Pick the book of Proverbs. Proverbs says you should say something. Say, call wisdom my sister. You wake up in the morning, wisdom, you are my sister. Heavenly wisdom, you are my sister. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly, that's a commandment. Say, call understanding your kinsman. So you wake up in the morning, you are my brother. Understanding, you will never leave me. I love you. The same blood flows. You get to my point. And that's it. This is what are you doing? I'm warming up for business for today. You're obeying scriptures. That's what, is that not what Proverbs said? You just wake up in the morning. What are you doing? The Bible says that I should call wisdom my sister. So wisdom, you're my sister. Wisdom, you're my sister. Spiritual wisdom. Heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom, you are my sister. You are with me. Heavenly wisdom, you are my sister. You are with me. You are leading me. I'm not walking by my own strength. I'm not relying on my own understanding. I'm being led by heavenly wisdom. And meanwhile, it's iron rod. You are planning to deal in that day. You have not weighed anything. You are just declaring that heavenly wisdom, you are my sister. Listen, you are going. Let me say it straight like this. I don't know why I'm talking about business people. They will tell you you need ₦1 billion for a business. I want to tell you ahead of time, don't borrow the money. What did I say? I don't know. Just hear it. Oh, let me tell you what temptation is. Temptations are what? Temptations are what? Which means that the day you make up your mind you're not borrowing it, somebody will come next day and give you at 0.5% per annum interest. Which is tempting. I mean, after Nigeria cleared its external debt, our Oga Obas, president that time, said to borrow $1 billion for education or something. I mean, no, wouldn't you be confused? We just cleared external debt that was weighing us down. We now want to go and borrow another $1 billion. Someone was watching the presidential debate. So they asked Oga Obas, head of state, commander-in-chief, the president, why are you borrowing $1 billion? He said that, well, you know, the interest was like 0.5%. So why not? Now, you know, I have understanding. It's called slavery. What did I call it? That's how they entice you. Who, after you declare external debt, who will now give you 10% per annum? They won't. That gave us like 1%, one ridiculous amount. That even me felt like, okay, no wonder they want to borrow it. No wonder. But I don't think we took it eventually. You know why? You know? Anything that's too good to be true is usually not true. What happened was that the people said, all right, what's the money for? It was education. We're supposed to equip the universities and stuff like that, computers and a lot of things, you know, communication hardware and stuff like that. So, Nigeria said, fine, $1 billion we'll take. Let's have it now. I said, okay, you will buy the computers from us. You know what I'm saying? Instead of us to go to Asia and buy it cheap, we have to now buy American and European hardware. And Nigeria said, okay, is that why the interest rate is 1%? Now we understand that they don't work the real interest. You know that those days, Asian things were far cheaper than European and American ones. Now they are learning now. The price difference is getting, you know, smaller and smaller. Anyway, I'm just getting to the issue of temptation. So it was a temptation because the interest rate looked good. Somebody's coming to tempt you to finance that business. You are looking for 10 million. They offer you 15 at a very juicy rate. What is the word I gave you today? I didn't hear you. Don't take it. What did I say?
Don't take it.
Those who that word is for, they know. Oh, should I just tell you why you shouldn't take it? It's called the Aesop principle. Your best right is being mortgaged. That's the reason. That's the reason. That's the reason. Let me quickly drop a word for you. Those of you who are businessmen, you are going to build enterprises. No matter what you do, ensure that huge controlling equity is yours in whatever you start. The type that no court can question. The best is 100%. Let me say it again. You are starting enterprises. You are starting businesses. I'm giving you a word from today. You are going to do the best you can to ensure that control is totally yours. Please try and go for 100%. I won't give you more than that. God, as you go on, God will give you ideas on how to effect that. But I was going to say, you will be shocked that with 100 naira, eventually you will get more value than men would have given you with that billion naira with which they were enticing you. I don't know, I'm feeling like a prophet. I came here to teach you, but let me just continue prophesying. I came to teach, but my time has really gone. Maybe we'll get back to what we're talking about later. I was talking about grace. That's why I went into all of this. But what God wants to do is to pour grace into the lives of his people, that his power working in them will produce things that the world hasn't seen before. Listen, you know what? At the beginning of everything, Satan will always show up. And it comes with three sets of temptations. At the beginning of your ministry is not just, you know, Pastor Bank is in ministry, is preaching Kingdom World Ministries. That is one kind of ministry. As a rule, that should be 1/12 of the total ministries we have in the body of Christ. Because in Israel, there were 12 tribes. Only one was the priestly tribe. You get what I'm explaining. Most of us shouldn't be preaching. Most of us should be doing our ministry in other parts of human enterprises. All right? So whatever we're talking about, when I talk about ministry, it's not just I'm grabbing the microphone, I'm beginning to preach. It can be I'm starting a business, I'm starting a school, I'm going into politics. Whatever it is a ministry. At the beginning, watch out for those three sets of temptations. Number one is, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where we shall we be clothed? That is, how do we make money out of this thing? That's the first temptation. They came to Jesus and said, now that you are hungry, turn these stones to bread. God will give you a special gifting and special ability. Remove your eyes from Larry Page. Remove your eyes from Sergey Brin. Remove your eyes from, what's the name of this Facebook boy? Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, remove your eyes from those people. I'm not saying they are evil. I don't know them. I don't care about them. But remove your eyes. Stop entering negotiations that the first thing you are thinking about is, how do I get money from this? When am I going public? When are they going to declare me the richest young African entrepreneur? You know, those kind of things. Remove your eyes. Please. Remove your eyes. That's the first temptation he comes with. How do we lock this thing with money? One day, the young man was working on our website. One day, we were working. He checked the amount of traffic we had. The young man said to me, when he saw the traffic, he said, sir, we can make money from this, you know. I said, look, Obina, I will beat you. I said, this is not for money. This is pure, what? Ministry. I said, no, leave it. I'm talking about temptations. That's what Satan comes with, temptations. Temptations. And how do we make money from this thing? Listen, you are already rich. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that wealth will manifest abundantly in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you the kind of wealth you will have. Let me explain it to you so that you don't fall for such nonsense temptations. People will come to you to ask some money for something. Because you don't have time to think, you give them a millionaire so they won't be disturbing you. That's the kind of money you have.
Amen.
That is like, are they serious? Are they sure it's really church they want to do? Or they want to defraud us? Okay, give them a million so at least it won't be like we didn't answer them. That is, if you wanted to give, if you really wanted, if you had prayed about it, if you and your wife had discussed it, that it would have been, are you serious? I mean, they are doing great work there. We should support it. Maybe, what do you think? Your wife say, I think we should support it, all right? You should support, yeah. Okay, write them a check for me, all right, I'm going. And she knows. Some of you wonder, you give me a millionaire as offering. And what is it mean? Wait. And I will call you, ask whether your head is correct. And then I'll look at it. I say, who's that for? Is it for Akinduro for me? He says, actually, that immediately you will change. He says, no, this is the foretaste, praise God, all right? It's just that we couldn't make up our mind. That's, let's not come empty-handed. I said, very good, come bring your head. It's well with you in Jesus' name. That is not because, it's not conventional, it's just that I know you are blessed. So that's where you are going. And that has already been, the draft is already in heaven. Sorry, the model, the blueprint is already in heaven. Just that God will soon click enter and they'll start 3D printing it for you on this earth. That is your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. For that reason, you are not going to fall for, you want to start something in life. You know where you are going. So let the Holy Spirit deal with you directly. Don't let Satan tell you, how do we immediately, you know, tie this thing to our... It's called turning your stones to bread. If you're a preacher, I'm a preacher, so I know more about preaching than any other thing. If you're a preacher, be careful. Preaching for money. These days, I see a lot of people. One day, someone was discussing, how can people say like that? Can we talk? I said, listen, he's collecting a cut from the money he's raising. That's why he's talking like that. Don't let any lack or any need in your life allow you to use the gospel to raise money. What will happen to you? You will die early. No, that's not the curse. I'm not cursing you. I'm warning you. No. Please, you must understand. I'm not wishing you bad. God will punish all these people. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, don't do it so you do not die early. Preach the truth. Let 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 be printed on your head. Have a book that has it on the cover, which says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, handling the word of God craftfully. By a manifestation of truth, we are commending our conscience to every man. Say things the way they are. If you want money, say, praise God. Brethren, we need money. Please, who we bring? Do not promise what God has not promised to. Now, I beg you, don't add to his words, though. He has a duty to make you a liar. If you're a preacher, we're talking about these turning stones to bread. Don't go and start ministry in where you think money is plenty. I've heard people say that offering Enugu is not plenty. Offering Abakaliki is small. Offering is plenty. So where are you going? You are going to Lagos. Okay. Ministry is where you are sent. You hear what I said?
Yes.
Ministry is what?
Yes.
That is what you should be asking yourself. Where am I supposed to go? Listen, when I get to Abuja, there will be men who will support me. Listen, they will support your failure. Are you getting my point? They will lead you in the path of unrighteousness for the devil's namesake. I know what I'm telling you. Do not, for any reason, choose the location of your ministry because you think financial resources are easier to find in the place. Don't. Oh. If God loves you, he will make you hungry when all your neighbors are multimillionaires. Just to teach you a lesson. If he's tired of you, he will let you prosper there. That is, he has given you over to Satan. Very important. Do things that are real, things that are true, things that are genuine. What you believe in your heart that God sent you to do, do that one. Same thing with business. Stop changing business because of money. You are downloading fruit, what do you call it? Blueprints from above. God is, you know, the other day I preached a message on radio, you know, just our old message, but we have in our series. I titled the holiness of faith. The way people responded to that message, I had to put it on our homepage. Recommended audio message. The holiness of faith. Go and listen to it. What I explained in there, that when God wants to bless people on this earth, he sends his ideas through people. So your duty in life, whatever you are doing, you should understand that you are a minister. You are not a money maker, you are what?
A minister.
So what you are doing is to bring forth God's ideas onto the earth. That's why you have to be careful. You don't just choose that this one makes money, this one doesn't make money. I cannot tell my son now, okay, look, take this, go and give to your mother. I said, I don't want to carry this one, it's not sweet. Does it make sense? No, answer him, does it make sense?
No.
It doesn't concern you. Give this to your mother. You're an errand boy, it's called ministry. God wants to send something to the earth, he passes it through you. This is not your own, this one doesn't make money. What do you concern? Is it your property? Let me tell you, one of the temptations I face as a preacher is to not say some things because it offends people. That is, there are things I want to say. Let me not say this one, they will get angry. You know, God will tolerate it for a while. After a while, say, come here. Come here, bring your head here. You know what is Jeremiah? Whatever I tell you to say, say it. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of offending them. That's why sometimes when you see me, they talk some kind that looks like it offends people. That's the reason. You know, Kenneth Hagin said something that God told him direct. You know, some people say that God does not kill. May not kill you. That's why you should be praying. All this one that he said that it's the devil that kills. I don't know which Bible they read. I mean, come on. My own Bible says that God kills and makes alive. I don't know why. You know, we now start twisting things. That the word there is allowed. I read over 20 translations. How come it's only you that know it's allowed? That God only allows you to be killed. Whether it's allow you to be killed or kill you by himself, you're still dead. Can he said something? Eh? He said God told him. He now spoke in a, you know, Pentecostal faith message way, but it's truth was the truth. That God told him that if he did not stop what he was doing, which was when the Holy Spirit will come upon him, he will resist it because the people were not used to prophesying. God told him, listen, you're a prophet and a teacher. And he was teaching the word, a good word. But God said, if I did not stop you today, you will have not lived beyond the age of 55. These are the temptations of life we're talking about. So as a preacher, we have our own temptations. There's another temptation. There's one American big minister. I sent him a mail. I know. I wasn't sure he read it. Maybe he read it. I don't know. But he's still doing what I begged him not to do. Another temptation of a preacher is to use your platform to execute personal good. Now, did you hear what I said? And I call it a temptation. Use your platform to execute personal good. It's a temptation. Don't fall for it. What do I mean? The preacher I'm talking to you about, you know, right now, the stupidest American is Barack Obama. You know that? Yes. Yeah. He's the stupidest American that I can think about. I think of all their presidents, he should be the oafest of them all. What was an oafest? When a man is an oaf, it's oaf, oafa, oafest. I invent words. I'm angry. So that man, I won't mention the name, does good ministry. I have his books. I recommend it. It's a man I mention his name once in a while. I'm on his mailing list. So I got his mail. And he took time out in the mail to address political issues. What Obama was doing that was wrong. The foreign policy that was faulty. Gun control, what his opinion. When I read the whole thing, I told Israel that I felt bad. So I composed a mail. I said, sir, generally this should be beyond me, but I think I should do it. I'm respectfully writing you this mail. I mentioned his books that I have. I have read his books, how I talk about him all the time, how he's a tremendous blessing to me, and I am a preacher. Therefore, he's a tremendous blessing to those who I preach to. I said, sir, but please, let me take it upon myself to beg you to reconsider this thing. Your platform is for thus says the Lord. That's all. Your platform is the word of God. Political persuasions, no. No interesting thing. I agree with him on most everything he said in there. That's why I first told you my opinion currently of Obama. I call him Jeroboam. When God puts you in office and you think you have to satisfy Satan to stay there, that's a Jeroboam principle. So I told him, sir, I agree with you. Even me, I think Obama is smoking too. We all agree. Except that you are sending mails worldwide to scores of thousands of people. We did not subscribe to your email to start hearing your Republican opinions. Before the first election, he was analyzing the best of Republican candidates that people should vote for. The first of his mails I read when I first subscribed, I was so blessed I forwarded it to a friend of mine who's in America. The next one that came, I didn't read it. I just forwarded it immediately. Then I read it. I said, yeah, please, my friend. I wrote my friend a mail apologizing for forwarding the previous mail to him because it was pure politics. And my friend happened to be a black man. I mean, if he's a Nigerian, I mean, have you ever seen a white Nigerian? Really, you haven't. All right? So he's a black man who was supporting Obama at that time. So the second mail was very offensive. Now, we can have different opinions, except that I forwarded it to him as the word of a man of God. For those who do not know, that is the zeal that destroys ministries. You don't realize it. Love us. That's why I said, don't use your platform for personal good. No. I'm talking to preachers. You have been given the platform to do what? Preach the word of God. Period. Your personal opinion is your personal opinion. You don't use the platform that God gave you to preach his word, to propagate your personal opinion, no matter how good. A lot of times I see them on TV. They are now nutrition experts. And I shake my head. Nutrition is good, but it's not the word of God. That's no ministry. Why do people do it? They want to help people. I want to help them. They are eating wrong. Their food is clogging their arteries. It's producing obesity and diabetes. Corey Blake says he doesn't care how you got your diabetes. If he lays hands on you, it will go. No, Corey Blake. You should listen to Corey Blake. He really inspired me. But the point I'm making is that you now see a lot of our big preachers have become nutritional experts. We'll vacate our airtime and put a nutritionist there. And the morning you miss your carrots with your cucumber and you drink it 5 meals, 3 times a day. This is what it does to your cholesterol. I just shake my head like this. Is carrot good? Yes. So, cucumber, is it good? Yes. But if it doesn't have taste, don't eat it. You did not sin. I've told you, I'm eating only carrots, cucumbers on top of rice. By itself, it's called bread of affliction. When a man is in sin, you start punishing him. That's my personal opinion. Oh, give him vegetables, you put chicken inside. Just a chop raw like that. Wait, who did I commit? Which sin did I commit? This is the only wife I have. So why should I be? It's when you want to punish a man. Eh? Was that your wife? Yeah, eat this vegetable. It's called penance. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't eat well. I'm just trying to say that. It worries me when they preach. I mean, there's one, for those of you on if you watch DSTV, there's what they call Food Network. My children love Food Network. That's why I expect to hear that. They should say that to Food Network. Then we'll flip over to Food Network and watch how to mince our vegetable, how to dice it, how to slice it. Have you? It's good. Make food on Food Network. But on Preaching Network, bros, I want to hear the word of God. I want to hear, thus says the Lord, even though your outward man is perishing, but from inside is being renewed day by day, that if that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. And that's why I love Corey Blake. I don't care how you got your diabetes. If I touch you, you are getting well. Corey Blake says something that there are times he sends email and puts, you know, like do mail and put a dot inside. They say, touch that dot and you will get healed on a computer screen. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, and it's called the power of life. It's called the power of what? Life! That's what we want when I come to church. That's what I want to hear. Don't tell me how to eat cucumbers. Listen, don't forget I'm a doctor. For those of you think I know what I'm talking about. I've seen them confuse everybody like this. Everybody go like this. They say, no, sorry, cucumber has thiocyanase who can give you goiter. So stop eating it. They go like this. I just looking at people just confused up and down. Today's eat onion, tomorrow don't eat it. One day eat garlic, don't eat garlic. I will say, Lord, lay your hands on your food in the name of Jesus, I receive it too. That's the first thing you should do. Listen, you know what Corey Blake said, which I like? He said, any God you want to follow will fail you one day unless it's the true God. Better choose it well. Better choose your God well. And I just want to do that to explain something. We have to be careful. These are the temptations of ministry. Don't even use your platform for what you personally consider good beyond that which is the word of God which you were given to propagate. Sometimes I say, you know, like business ideas. People give me business ideas. I say, okay, so I call you in camp because these are nice business ideas. So I tell my wife, for me, no, I know they do. Why? I want to preach. I'll share the business ideas. If you want me to pray, I lay hands on you. Go and prosper. When you finish prospering, bring my portion. No, that's the word of God. You bring my portion. I will collect it. If I join you in doing the business, listen, you know what happened? You will fail. I will fail. Everybody will fail together. It's called the Jonah influence. When Jonah enters your ship. All of you are sinking. So, what I will do is I will allow you to go and do business. If I have money, I can give you whatever. Go. But when you, I will be praying from here. I will be preaching the gospel. As I'm preaching, my prayer is getting more effective and you are prospering there. Now, when the money is complete, you bring it. Like they say, first catch the rabbit, then we share it. But if I follow you to go and catch the rabbit, won't get any, even termite, you know, esusu. We don't go see chopo. That is why, as a preacher, I'm talking about the nature of preachers. This platform is not for business. I won't come and sell any product here. Forever living or forever dead makes no difference. Once you mount the pulpit, don't sell nothing. Don't let any tempter come and meet you. Say, Pastor, if you let us use your platform, we'll give you this amount. I'm warning you. It is. You go. So anyway, you know when God loves pastors, you know what he does? When he starts that early in life, he sends you to prison very early. God, you don't know. That's what he does now. And he says, this boy, no one here. He says, Gabriel, call me Michael. Michael comes and says, get me two guys. Send that guy to jail. serious jailer, they will put you, when you enter jail like this, Agbako is your neighbor, Jaguda is on one side, Tiger, they go beat. Next time you come out, you say, what were you doing there? You say, that day, I don't know what they give me drink. Now I join the beginning sale for church. So all the sales, that's if it happens to you as a preacher, just know it's God. What did I say? It's not Satan. No, this one is Satan. It's not Satan. That one is God. But importantly, come out from there, learn your lesson. When you come back, next time they say, hey, pastor, we have this garlic to sell. No, noni juice, not garlic. Anybody wants to buy noni juice, go their way. They shouldn't sell it from your pulpit. No, let me tell you something. That's the nature of ministry. Because you are very influential. This is what I like to demonstrate. Everybody watch this. Everybody put up your right hand. Okay, put it down. Do you see that? Can you see how you obeyed me without questioning? Did you notice how you obeyed me like that? No questions. God gave me that authority for one reason. One reason, to instruct you with the word of righteousness. I'm not allowed to tell you, that hand, put into your pocket. Anything you see, bring it out. That handshake, don't they cross elbow. You know the funny thing? God will allow people to obey you. He won't scatter your authority because of that. But when you get home, your punishment is for you alone. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't fall for those temptations. Look, let me finish my message. Let me just stop it here. Remember I said that temptations will come. Number one is what I've been talking about. Don't fall for it. The cares of this world. What shall we eat? That's how it begins. There are two other ones which Jesus was faced with. He said, the first one was turn your stones to bread, which I've been talking about. Don't turn your stones to bread. The number two is the one in which he said, come up, bow to me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Any emergency breakthrough that requires you to break the principles you started with, don't go for it. And the third temptation is that of glory. Sir, like Pastor Paul, you said once, somebody now told me that, look, Pastor, now you start playing golf. I don't know what I hear that. Yeah, they told him that, now, Pastor, you know, now you're a big man. Time to start playing golf. So that you can now rub shoulders with the big men of the society. That is Satan telling you, I'm about to destroy your life. It's called the pride of life. Now, you know, I'm telling you. You know what somebody said? Let me tell you this story and I close with it. He said one day, mosquito went out, young mosquito, to go and fly for the first time. When they came back home, the father said, how was it? Ah, he said that it was glorious. They were clapping for me. Yeah, he said, they were not clapping for you. They wanted to kill you. He said, they were not clapping for you. They wanted to kill you. The poor mosquito did not know. When you see the world clapping for you, man of God, woman of God, beware. I'm telling you, beware. Is that telling that this sky is not your status? Is that offering you titles? No, this pastor they are calling does not earn you respect. You should now become the metropolitan bishop. Just know, your destruction is what they are planning. You think they are clapping for you? They want to kill you. The car you've been driving, nobody talk anything. No. You'll be ministering effectively inside your car. And one day, Nadina said, no, you should have a bigger one. We can buy it higher purchase from Land Rover to Motors. The latest model, you know, Land Cruiser. How much is it? No, they'll give you a discount, sir, 16.5 million. All right, how are we going to pay? Just give them 1 million, don't worry. They'll give you the car. Why? Your status. Once they use that expression, it is called, come and jump down. From here, they are giving you glory that you don't deserve, that you don't need. Run. Next time you come to minister, go and take a dispatch motorbike. That one is still legal in Enugu, you know? Sit on it. Say, ah, Pastor, what happened? I want to prove to you that I can minister effectively, even if I come down on a 15cc engine. Just watch me. Listen, being a preacher doesn't mean you are important. It just means you are walking. What did I say? Just means you are walking. You can trek to preach, it's the will of God. Now, I've talked mostly to preachers, that's because I know that area well. But that applies to everybody. That applies to everybody. There are things they will tell your company to do. Publicity stunts. Start saying things that are not your size. Don't start telling lies. They are going to give you the kind of exposure you can't handle. Let God grow you stage by stage, bit by bit, and you will be able to manifest His glory in due time. Listen, your blueprint is ready, and God will click enter. They will begin to 3D print it on the earth. And then you will know it's not by your strength, it's not by your power, but it has been by the Spirit of God. I hope you understood me today. I hope you were blessed. The message I wanted to preach, we'll preach it next time. All right? Let's bow down here and just give you a little thanks.